About, it's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Denise Lee.
How are you feeling?
That's great.
Great? Okay. I'm glad we got there in the end. We have the intro. Everyone knows who you are.
And, oh, you're awesome, Laura. Thanks. Oh,
no, you're awesome, Denise. I mean, I had to do that before we jumped into some pretty hefty subjects for today. All right. So, of course, the big topic this week is the tax working group's recommendations. I'm just going to let you say what you think. What do you think of it so far?
So it's far more wide-reaching, Laura, than we ever thought it was going to be. And it's not just the capital gains tax stuff, right? There's other taxes that they're outlined, 8 new taxes in total. So how on earth they think that New Zealand can sustain, well, and quite frankly, primarily middle New Zealanders can sustain that kind of onslaught and still remain productive and saving is beyond me.
I mean, the big comment I've got from National coming out of is, of course, Simon Bridges calling this a declaration of war on farmers. Do you stand by that?
On farmers? Yeah, well, it's not just farmers that he's referred to. It's also middle New Zealand. So when you've got, I mean, here's just a real obvious example, right? When the tax regime that's being suggested doesn't apply to $5 and $10 million mansions around Auckland, or multi-million-dollar super yachts, or art collections, or wine collections, but it applies to all the small businesses, every single small business in New Zealand. You know, a couple that's working super hard and they've just saved really hard to buy a second property as a retirement nest egg. When you've got that kind of interesting way of looking at equality, well, how does that work?
But I just your example right there for the couple who saves up for a retirement nest egg, like, that's only going to affect them when they sell. So if that's the place they're planning to settle down in, that shouldn't be something that affects them until that point.
Well, there's another way to look at it, right? Will these measures force everyone to pump as much money as they can into their family home? You know, what are the perverse effects? Why is it that it's not covering a wider group of people? When you've got it applying to every single small business and it's looking like it's at the top rate, the top tax rate. You know, there's just a load of, I don't think we thought, or quite frankly, a lot of people thought that it was going to come in at this angle and not address what, I mean, by their own admission, their big primary driver was addressing fairness. Is it really doing that?
I mean, New Zealand is kind of one of the last places where we are bringing up this conversation of capital gains tax, because most other countries have introduced it. Why do you think we are the last kind of place?
Oh, I don't know if we're the last, but we sure will be the most, I was going to say liberal, but the most harsh capital gains country if we do introduce this, by far. And we'll be right up there with the most grunty capital gains tax system in the world. Here's another driver, right, that they said it wasn't just fairness, that they wanted to address housing issues. Well, if you look at international examples, Laura, capital gains tax doesn't fix housing issues. I mean, Sydney's a classic example. They've got a capital gains tax regime there. What do we know about housing in Sydney? Well, it's looking exactly like Auckland is.
But I think having a capital gains tax, I mean, the commentary that I've heard from economists so far is that by having a capital gains tax, you might have that initial influx of people putting their properties back onto the market, which helps out getting people out of the rental market, pushing them into home ownership, and being able to buy that first home. So doesn't that inherently address issues of inequality?
there might be an initial reaction, but over time, what it does is increase burdens on primarily middle New Zealand and definitely small business. So if you reduce it, well, not reduce it, if you apply it just to the small business sector, and we just sit on that for now, when you've got the small business sector facing what is a real handbrake on investment, that's going to have a flow-on effect to everyone. They'll get one of the world's highest taxes, and they need to be our most productive part of the economy. You know, 90% of our business is small business. So it disincentivizes a lot of stuff for them, entrepreneurship, innovation. Take, for instance, Peter Beck from Rocket Lab. Within an hour of the announcement, he came out and said, you know, basically, are you kidding? This will be massively impactful on startups in New Zealand. And we've got to be really creative about how we grow our economy here. So no matter which way you look at it, whether it's the housing angle, whether it's the small business angle, this is not going to help grow New Zealand. Just the opposite.
Yeah. I did want to touch on the other recommendation, which is a more environmentally focused driven recommendation. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, to be honest, I don't know the details around that environmental footprint tax, but it's one of eight. So look, there may be some merit there, Laura, but you've got a capital gains tax, you've got a waste tax, an agricultural tax, a water tax, a fertilizer tax, an environmental footprint tax, a natural capital enhancement tax, and tax on vacant residential land. So I'd like to see the details, but really, is this the way that we are going to get ahead? No.
But I think in terms of climate change, like, I'm sure you've heard the reports. We have a lot of fear around what our futures are actually going to be looking like with these, with climate change and with pollution. It's becoming more of a pressing issue to the point where if we let certain industries stagnate in the ways of high resource use with a lack of putting back into the environment, it's just getting to be to the point where you can't allow that to happen anymore. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, no, Mark, I do think it's fair that we address the big environmental issues of our day. And we are doing that. In fact, we've got a Blue Greens conference in Raglan this weekend where we're going to be launching our discussion document for all the areas where we see we need to address. And we're going to be really upfront about where we haven't done well in the past, and that's including us as a National Party, and where we need to go. I'm not sure that heading to a new tax regime is the way to go. There's going to be other and possibly even collaborative environmental initiatives that we undertake. This, if you're looking at this in terms of small business impact, and, you know, we all know that it's not just the personal side of things, it's also the impact that business has on the environment, then what's the best way to incentivize people to look after our environment? Another really handbrake type tax regime isn't going to be the way.
I'm going to shift on to Communicare. So obviously we have a fairly young listenership for our radio station. I was wondering if you might be able to explain what it is exactly.
Yeah, sure. So there are two groups, Communicare and Shanti Nivas, which is this most amazing Indian elderly care group. They both see dozens and dozens and dozens or hundreds of elderly residents and put on daycare programs for them. So what it does is combat social isolation. So people who are retired, I mean, a lot of, especially I go to Shanti all the time because they happen to be in my area, and talk to the senior citizens there. And a lot of their children, even in some cases grandchildren, are working and are just so busy that they can't hang out with their grandees. And that's never good for anyone. So what they're doing is putting on programs for them. Well, weirdly, surprisingly, because the Ministry of Health has some top-tier priorities, and one of them is social isolation, weirdly, they cut their funding. And it's not just these two groups, it's actually five of them, Laura. Those are just the two groups that hit that Herald article. So what do we make of that when we've got a well-being budget coming up and there's dollar figures being put on, you know, making a friend, and I think there's even a category for talking to an elderly person. And at the same time, you've got those, their funding being cut and DHB deficits racking up around $200 million and counting. What else is going to be cut?
I mean, with the DHB, obviously, it's been a huge topic over this past year. Maybe, obviously, this is just speculation on my part, but they just can't manage to keep those things with all the things like nurses' strikes, doctor strikes. Is it just the potential that there is no room for it?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Every Minister of Health needs to negotiate with his or her Minister of Finance and get the money that they need, right? And then it becomes prioritisation. What do you value? What do you think would flow in effect ultimately for citizens and those residing in New Zealand? So that's like a real simple way to look at it, but that's exactly how it is. So then when you go spend in certain places in New Zealand, and for this government, it's a massive provincial growth slush fund, $1 billion a year. It's also been fees free for tertiary students. You know, the list goes on of where we've seen spending. What does that mean for other budgets in other areas? And here we are, we have a very practical example of senior citizen elderly programs with their funding cut. So I think it's up to New Zealand to decide what deserves priority funding, and if it's in places where they disagree that it should be, you know, scrapped or prioritised so low, then it's time to speak up about it.
I'm going to shift on to our last subject, which is the Auckland rates. They're expected to rise. So this is going to get many Aucklanders thinking, no doubt. What do you think about the expected rises?
Yeah, well, so when Gough came in, Mayor Gough campaigned at keeping rates at 2.5%, right? So that was his campaign, and he's in his last year. He's up for election again in October. And so he has kept his promise at keeping it at 2.5%, and so it has. This is the last year that it's going to go up at 2.5%. He's already said that next year it's going to be 3.5. Well, he may or may not be the mayor to actually implement that, but that's what it's going to be. So it's actually going to be going up more next year, and we already know it. And the problem with that, Laura, is that some people would say, oh, 2.5, I mean, for the government-type rate payers, they might think, oh, that's fine, you know, let's whack on some more taxes in the form of rates. But for others, that 2.5 and next year 3.5, that's a whack of money. That's, you know, heading into, I guess it obviously depends on the value of your property, but that's heading up into, you know, quite a few more dollars, maybe a couple of hundred more dollars, maybe a couple of thousand more dollars for some people. Where do you think the flow-on effect will be for students on that? So if you own a rental property, or even if you have opened up one of your rooms for a boarder or something like that, and your rates go up, well, then you're going to charge on more rent. And the housing shortfall isn't being fixed up anytime soon. We all know about the Kiwi build figures. So that, to me, smells like some serious pressure on rent prices next year.
I could talk about this forever, honestly. I guess one thing I always think about when the argument of rent prices are going to rise, because that comes up all the time with capital gains rates.
Yep.
If you... Because with the rental market, we don't really have heaps of regulation around how much a landlord can put up a rental property. So isn't it a matter of actually addressing how much leeway rent landlords have over the price of rents?
So are you talking about some sort of capping regime on rental increases?
Potentially. I think that's a really interesting concept, and I don't hear much about it, so I'm curious about your thoughts.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, no surprise here, but we would say let the market decide on that regard. I mean, if you are exorbitantly putting up your rent prices, you're going to get a total of zip people wanting to come in and rent with you. So where the market will adjust according to how the economy is doing, expectations, you know, government policy settings, you'll get an equilibrium naturally.
Interesting thoughts. I'm just running out of time, so I'll probably end on my most controversial question, as always, the personal one.
Here we go.
Yeah. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. So, the question of the day, who's your best friend and why are they your best friend?
Oh, I love that question. my best friend is a gorgeous, and I am so going to get the recording of this so she can hear me saying it. Her name's Lisa Maria Mitchell, and I even gave you her middle name.
Oh, wow.
She's a gorgeous lady who... you know what she does? She always figures out what my needs are at the time. She can sense that I'm super stressed and I just need one of her pumpkin burrito baked thingies, and I've got no time to cook, and she'll do it anyway. Or I'm really just so tired, and she'll just say, hey, let's go have a swim together. Or she just instinctively knows what my needs are, and what more could you ask for in a friend? I don't have to tell her, she just knows.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's pretty sweet, eh?
Yeah, too.
Hi, Lisa.
I want my best friend like that. Although my mom's my best friend because I'm gross like that. So like she already does that.
My mom's way up there too.
Oh, yeah.
I am with you on that too.
Moms, they're great. Anyways, thank you so much for talking with me, Denise.
Thanks, Laura.
Have a good week. See you next week.
The National Party's Denise Lee on 95 BFM.